This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons continues right now on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. And of course on the Odyssey app, just type in WEEI and you can listen live and even use the talkback feature. We thank you so much for being here. That's Jim Montgomery talking about where this team is now, John. And I just wonder, after the benching of Pasta in the Seattle game and then the loss here to Toronto, is there something going on where Pasta could be the catalyst for Montgomery to be gone?
It's interesting because they win two games over the weekend, which followed that debacle last Thursday night against Carolina. They bounce back and they win two games. And Pasta's actually benched during the third period of the second win. So you bench him, you still win. And I was wondering last night, and Scheim and I were talking about this a little bit, is that benching going to give the Bruins a jolt in addition to winning those two games? Because what the Bruins' problem has been is they have not been able to stack together good performances, right? They won that game against Toronto in overtime last week or whatever, and then they lost their next couple, right? They've won a game in Colorado, lost the next couple. So, like, all right, well, they won two games. Can they stack another good performance against Toronto and either get a win or at least maybe lose in overtime and get a point out of it? And they were just bad in this game. I mean, they had 0-for-5 on the power play just in the first two periods. They committed, I think, 5 or 6 penalties in the first two periods alone. I mean, this game, it was 2-0 after two, but it felt like it was 4-0 then, and they end up losing 4-0 actually. And it felt like that benching to Pasternak was a detriment, or there's something larger going on here. But this team, they're playing below their capability, and they just cannot stack multiple good games in a row.
Yeah, I think the Bruins only have one win when they've been trailing after the first intermission. And it's just been horrible. So this is the conversation I had last week was, okay, if this means we're going to see a Bruins team that's going to make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, then yeah, okay, go through these pains now versus what we've seen over the last 2 years, which is, oh boy, we get to open our Christmas gifts in July, and then come time for Christmas, there's nothing under the tree for us as the fans. So I'm concerned that, you know, because again, what's Pasta's time on the ice during the penalty kill? Like 2 seconds. So what is his time during the power play? He's always there. So you're 0-for-5 on the power play. You just got benched a couple of games ago during a win. You lose the game after that. You almost wonder, are the players willing to go to this tug of war if they feel like Montgomery's not the right guy? As I mentioned, remember last week, because if you get Montgomery out of there, it buys excuse time for Sweeney and for Neely.
It definitely does, right? And we talked about this at length that, you know, at some point you got to start blaming the players that are underperforming. But when you look at Montgomery, this is a very different team than what he was hired to coach, right? He was hired to coach a team that had gone to the Stanley Cup a few years before, that had Bergeron, that Krejci was going to come back, that had all these veteran leaders. And now, okay, Marchand's still there, but he's the only guy you have that's won a cup here before, right? He's the only real veteran leader, if you will. And I know some other guys have been here a while, but it's a very different team. And I think it requires a lot more hands-on when it comes to leadership and maybe habits and things like that that Montgomery didn't have to do with the team a couple years ago. So you do wonder, is he the right guy for this type of roster?
Right. Think about it. When you have Krejci, you have Bergeron and Marchand on the team at the time, you'd say, who's the leader? Right. And then at the same time, you would say, well, gosh, it's not like the other two guys aren't part of the leadership. It feels like, okay, you know,
I think we're even missing. So like there was someone else on there that was a legit vet. And even Monty said at one point that season, he goes, well, I don't even have to do as much
probably
coaching.
Probably Chara at the time as well.
He was gone by then. But Monty even said that year, like, I don't have to do as much coaching because Patrice is here and he can handle so much. And that was so unique. And now that guy is not there. Krejci's not there. You get some guys out of place. You have Lindholm and Zadorov, two of your biggest contracts on the team, are brand new guys. And
so isn't this pointing that it's expected that Pasta needs to start stepping up into the leadership room,
even if it's
not the role yet?
I would agree.
I think that's what's going on. It's like, okay, we've given you the money you want. We clearly recognize you as a superstar. You are clearly part of the fabric of this team. When do you step up and become a leader? That's why you remember when he gets into a fight in the playoffs last year, like, not really the leadership we're really kind of expecting out of you. Like, it's cool for the moment. But if you
but
have
then
moments,
you take yourself out of the game for 5 minutes, and you're our best player.
So literally, you have kind of this leadership vacuum that's going on with the Bruins, because I think this is a really good forensic show. If you don't know our forensic skills, go to weei.com, go to podcast, and listen to the final hours of the Red Sox autopsy.
Side note, I know we're going to get to this later. They might be taking some of our recommendations from that autopsy, recent reports.
The Red Sox are?
Yeah.
Well, it's great listening material, and it's you've got to go back and listen to it. It's a sports crime podcast done in real time. It's, you know, when they do those live shows on television, they do a live episode of a show on television.
Yeah,
have you seen those?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's like literally what.
That's what we do every night, man.
So check it out. It's at weei.com. Go to podcast. Go to night show. WE at night. And look for, or even John's article.
Also search KJ After Dark.
Is that a searchable? Because I'm thinking like I thought those videos down after I started making some decent money.
Maybe not.
Okay, let's go to Tim in Nashua talking Bruins. Tim, thank you so much for the call. You're on WEEI.
Guys, year after year, we discuss this, what Sweeney's doing with the lineup. Bringing in these players like that guy Johnson, the Leafs made him a part of the boards. He's too small. When is he going to, you know, use what he spoke about, these young kids that are down in province that have some type of promise? I mean, I watched Trent Frederick out there, and I wish that Lysell was out there. How do you guys feel about that? How long are they going to let him get away with this?
Well, that's the thing we talked about with the excuse, right, John? It's like, if Montgomery is the one that can take the heavy for what's going on now, then the light comes off of Sweeney and Cam Neely for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, it's funny he brought up the Lysell point, because this is something producer Zach Cohen and I talked about before. They brought him into training camp, and this is supposed to be your best prospect in the organization, and they sent him back down to Providence like within a week. And it's like, you need scoring punch. You had that issue in the playoffs, and you didn't give this guy more than a week. Like,
or even last year, sending Patra to the junior to go play junior hockey.
Yeah, it's interesting. And look, in 2023, Sweeney built the best roster in the NHL, and those guys failed. So I'm not going to blame him for that. But this roster now, I mean, maybe it's Montgomery. The players deserve more blame than they get. But did Sweeney build something that maybe doesn't fit together quite as well as maybe, at least myself, we thought it would before the year?
All right, stay tuned. KJ Lyons continues next. We'll look into the Celtics game about halfway into the second quarter. They're in a bit of a dogfight. We'll talk about what the Celtics are going through. Plus, we'll look around the NBA as well. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still 25 minutes away from the Lyons Den, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics back in action tonight, taking on the Warriors. Right now, we're just getting started in the second quarter. Celtics lead 26-24. Derek White leads the way for the Seas with 12 points. Jason Tatum has just 5 in what many consider to be a revenge game. Seas are, of course, without Jaylen Brown for the third straight game as he continues to nurse a nagging hip injury. Bruins fell back into their old habits last night, falling to the Maple Leafs 4-0 up in Toronto. Leafs scored 3 power play goals on 7 attempts. They'll return home tomorrow for a matchup with the Calgary Flames. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7 p.m. Patriots return to the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup against number one pick Caleb Williams in the Chicago Bears. Safety Kyle Duggar remained absent with an ankle injury. Limited participants included safety Marte Mapu, defensive end Keon White, and guard Layden Robinson. Kickoff from Soldier Field in Chicago set for 1 p.m. on Sunday. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. More KJ and Lyons coming up after this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. Some classic rock on WEEI 93.7 with KJ and Lyons. Sports and rock and roll. Thank you so much for being here. A personality-driven show. Like, very, you know, I get sometimes it's a very good odd couple type show, right? But we're, well, other than John actually sunning me on College Football 25, I had to step back and bring that up. Because I have no problem. I have no problem showing my flaws. You know, I loved me for me, right? So I realized, what are you doing, KJ, trying to play college football against a college football coach? Like, what? Like, Zach, do you see how much sense that now makes? What are you masterfully going to outdo a real college football coach playing the video game version of college football?
You just got to get in the lab.
I have not received an invite to play against Zach yet. Zach has been very quiet.
He kept saying,
KJ, after you guys play, I'll play winner. And it's been, what, 2-3 weeks?
It got dismissed. I'll play.
Jackson said the same thing. Look, Jackson has been in the middle of that as well. Has he shown up to play? Stiz has not shown up to play you?
The only one that has is you.
Only one who's willing to go to the whipping post like a Greg Allman song has been me. And you're look, this is how embarrassing it was. Because I'll point this out and then we'll get into our conversation about what I'm seeing in the Celtics game. And John, you might be seeing it too. Is As bad as Penn State looked against Ohio State is how I played using Penn State against John, who just randomly took Missouri. Now, here's what's crazy. Is this not the truth, John? Only one guy for Penn State was doing anything in the game for me, and that was their running back.
Yep.
Quarterback couldn't do anything. The receivers couldn't do anything. And I was thinking, damn, how real life is this? Because several weeks later, I have not played the game since I've lost to John. Is that not bad?
He demoralized you.
He demoralized me. And at least I could say that. And here's the funny thing is, after I played John a half inning in MLB The Show, John was like, okay, I think we're all set and ready with the test. Let's move to the football game. Yeah. I've not asked him to play a baseball game because I'm not, like, this is how bad it's gotten.
We'll
I like
wait till the spring. Yeah.
We'll wait until another game.
Baseball season is over. You know.
Yeah, even during baseball season, you weren't jumping. I was like, yeah, let's play a little 5-inning game of MLB The Show. Because you did not want me to show you what I could do on that game. But at least it would be more even because you are not a baseball manager,
night,
neither am I.
I'll play Zach. You know, maybe he'll do me the honor.
I'm in. Okay. I'll play as the Bearcats of Sam Houston.
Okay.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Play with a real team. I'm trying to tell you.
A real team.
Play with a real team. Don't embarrass
it. Give me the Bearcats.
Okay. I'm trying to tell you. You are playing up against a guy who has coached college football in the game called college football. Like, would you?
I mean, okay. He picked Sam Houston State. I guess we'll go with it.
You can pick whoever you want.
Don't let him do it.
Georgia, yeah, you can take Bama. Any of them. Yeah.
So you're really talking that type of smack, Zach. I need to be invited to see this. I'll let my controller sit because if I lost by 53 playing with a team that at least has a guy with a star underneath his feet, you're about to play with a team that barely has a band and anybody. They probably have bleachers that are metal.
Well, you see, I have the advantage with Sam Houston because I've been running a dynasty with them with some of my buddies.
But you can't play your dynasty team.
No,
against him.
They have the same roster.
Yeah, they have
the
same uniforms, KJ.
No, you really think that's going to that you
I
really
go
think
with the whole
I'm trying to warn Zach here. And we need to pull Hall Jackson's ass in here and wonder why he's disappeared from the game room chat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have no problem. Look, at the end of the day, if I beat you, John, on that game, would it really be entertaining talk about it here on the show?
No, like, I don't think I would mention it.
Like,
I'd just be too angry. See, I'm just like Jaylen Brown. I have that edge to me. Jaylen Brown and I have been confused with the same person many times.
Really? Try that in a police car. I'm totally kidding. Yeah. But seriously.
Maybe I'll do that later tonight.
Well, right. Why not?
No, it's I have a hip flexor injury, I swear.
Well, it's a different era now. But look, I think, and then we'll get to the Celtics talk as they get down to about the 5-minute mark here in against Golden State, and they're having some issues, and there's some concerns I have. Look, John is a head football coach who understands what he wants to run in the playbook. He knows, you know, like, if there's one thing I learned from John.
I did win my first Dynasty Championship last week.
Oh, that's you. That's you and AI. Yeah. I'm talking about you against another
17-16, man. Ole Miss over Ohio State.
But I'm trying to warn you, Zach, when you play him, it's going to be like going up against Emeril in a cooking contest.
Bam.
Like, I'm just letting you know. Like, you might make a wonderful spaghetti and meatballs, but if that's what you're asking Emeril to do, you're going to get your ass kicked. I'm just trying to tell you. You're better off going with the salmon croquet and hopefully something falls into the equation.
Here's the real test, KJ. We'll see if Zach texts me tomorrow because he's talking a big game now, but I might just sit there all afternoon and never get a text.
You know what Zach's
cross-play, right? That'd be the only.
Yeah, what do you have, PS5? Xbox X.
So we just add each other on EA.
I'm that grandpa mirror. I didn't know you could cross-play across systems all this time. I didn't know that.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
No, I didn't know that. I'm just like,
actually, I want to say within the last 3 or 4 years, it's become a newer thing. And I,
okay,
I mean,
so
it's a good
that
thing.
Is old. Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, this is really the first time I'm playing people online. So, like, shout out to all the video game players. And sometimes we'll just get on these tangents here. Because the good thing is, like, we're not discussing Call of Duty on a sports station, right? You know?
I actually haven't bought the new Call of Duty yet. Usually
I haven't played a single game of Call of Duty. Never. I have zero interest.
I love the campaigns. I'll play some online, but I'm a big campaign guy. I like the story.
Yeah, it's for something about going out to hunt people.
Kids anymore. They're all
the other thing because it's become training ground for them. Because if I get in there, you know, they're going to say some things, especially if I start taking them out. You know.
Yeah, there are some times on that I want to, like, beat up a 12-year-old, which is probably not a good thing.
So I stick to sports game, and I did find a pool game called Pool Blitz.
Okay.
That's kind of become a little bit addictive to me. I'm like, I need to put this thing down. I shouldn't be playing someone a game of pool at 2 o'clock in the night with some fake 800 coins. Then I start thinking about like, maybe I should go see to a, like a billiards and pool store, you know, like.
That's right. My wife and I play Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, and she wins 90% of the time, and I get angry. So
I made that's the real reason why I want to beat John in one game of college football 25, because my one victory will hurt him more than all of his victories against me before.
Yeah. All right. I'll feel like, you know, Tom Brady after Super Bowl 42.
You're going to feel more like Kyle Brady, the tight end, not getting a pass.
That's a Penn State joke.
Wish I had him. Like, at least I have another weapon on the team when I played. All right, Celtics 7-18 left in the second quarter, down 4, 33-29. They have scored 5 points. They have 5 points in the second quarter so far. Okay, no, so it's 37-36.
They're getting outscored 18-12 though.
Right, 18-12.
And the Warriors, what the five number? They went on a 14-5 run when Tatum sat down.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson was just lighting them up, looking like Steph Curry out there, slow motion. But here's my concern: is oh boy, this team looks very average out there with no Jaylen Brown.
And also, no Porzingis either, right? So that's,
wait, there hasn't been Porzingis, and yeah, I haven't said this about how the team has looked over the last seven games.
But now you're not just down one of your top three guys, you're down two of them. But you're right. I mean, they haven't looked that good offensively tonight. They're shooting 33% from the field, 31% from three. And Derek White came out. He had, I think, 9 points in the first 5 minutes. He hit a couple threes and then three free throws. And then after that, their shooting's been pretty quiet. Like Tatum's hit, I think, one or two threes. Pritchard hit one. So their shooting has been really ever since Derek White had that early kind of offensive explosion, their shooting overall is really tapered off.
What scares me about this game that's going on right now is the bench for Golden State's pretty much done their job for the night almost. Kuminga 5 points.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Anderson 9 points. Buddy Hield 8 points. Gary Payton II 6 points. So you literally have your bench doing more than what their starters are doing. For the most part, Steph Curry has 3 points, and they're winning this game.
No, 100%.
And so this is my concern with the Celtics is, you know, Pritchard, okay, 7 points. To me, that's on track. But Hauser, 3 points. Cornette, 2 points. And I'm not expecting points from Cornette. But when you have one guy missing like this, it really shows.
And I think what's hurting you tonight is Horford and Holiday have 0 combined points. Right, well, so especially without a guy like Brown, neither one of those guys has given you anything in the starting lineup point-wise.
But in this mix of things, it's not unusual to see Horford end up with 8 or 10 points and that be a normal night.
Sure, but without Brown, neither one of those guys has given you anything.
Well, that's the other thing, and it kind of goes back to the thing that I have about Holiday is I think Holiday is much more comfortable as the facilitator to move things, to play the defense, and leave the scoring to other guys that on nights where you need the scoring from them. You're like, this guy really hasn't been in a really super shooting rhythm to be here at this point. Now, if these are things that you know in advance, then maybe you game plan that a little bit. Maybe you're like, okay, we need you to get up a couple more shots because we're going to depend on you getting shots up, you know, on Wednesday. You know, that could be one of those situations. And my concern with Jrue Holiday at this point in his career is that what he does best doesn't involve scoring the basketball.
Yeah, and he's really here for the fourth quarter of games.
Right.
Like that's, and even go back to the playoffs last year, right? Like we all remember that amazing steal against the Pacers in game three, but he also scored the Celtics' last 5 points of that game. Like that's what he's here for, is he gets you those one or two or three key buckets, you know, in the late third or fourth quarter that pushes you over the edge. And I think that's an awesome role for him, and it helped them win a championship. Just on a night like tonight, when obviously, you know, Porzingis is out long term, he's not there, but you have no Brown on top of it, and they're double teaming Tatum every time they get, you do need a little bit more scoring from Holiday to keep you in the lead.
Yeah, well, this is what I say. This is a more realistic lineup, even without Porzingis, right? Because you would say, okay, if Porzingis is in there tonight, you probably have to play him a bit differently because Golden State's they run small all the time. So for, you know, you're like, do you leave Porzingis out there with a small lineup that can all, you know, shoot from the outside?
I still might because he's a unique guy. Like, normally I understand what you're saying and I would agree with you. Like, Nemus Kata started tonight and I think he's been kind of inconsistent. He's had a little, but Porzingis is different. Like, I would leave
He's a good player, but he's not rated for prime time in these situations, like getting starters' minutes.
Porzingis is a guy I'd leave out in any situation. But again, I understand your point overall. It's just he's different.
So does this go to some of my comments earlier in the season where we're going into the preseason was like, you know, are you the Celtics that look for a player that's a veteran minimum, that you get on a veteran minimum probably after the first of the year? Someone who wants to win a title and who's more interested in winning that title, they can, you know, it would be low money on the books towards the end of the season that can give you some scoring off the bench, even if it's over, you know, getting 7 to 10 minutes. Maybe even someone that you pair with Pritchard, because you got to wonder, like, can Hauser deliver the way that he's got to deliver more often than not with that bench. Like I said, after the half, I'm okay with Pritchard having 7 points getting close to the half, right?
Sure.
Because Pritchard giving you 15 a night, that's what he should be doing. Even in a situation for tonight, it's incumbent on those other starters to get you more points. That hasn't happened. You know, a lot of it's going to be on Tatum, but like you said, when you're double-teaming him, you know, the people with four hands tend to win grabbing contests faster than the person with two hands, you know.
Right, and it's a different conversation, obviously, tonight because there's no Jaylen Brown, right? Like, right. When you're in the playoffs, like, Jaylen Brown is going to be there, and if Jaylen Brown's not, then it's a different conversation, right? Like, then you're not the same level of contender that you are with him. So it's a little bit of a different conversation tonight just because he's not there. Like, if Jaylen Brown's in the lineup and Pritchard has 7 and White has 12, like, then you're probably winning this game by 12 or 13 points. But without Jaylen Brown, then it's You need guys like Horford and Holiday to give you more production out of the starting lineup.
Well, this is why I don't want to say that, you know, you go get, that you can bring back, why can't I think of his name right? Malcolm Brogdon. But if you could have someone who's kind of Malcolm Brogdon-esque next to Pritchard out there, because that's what was happening at that time, then you have a really, really good bench. And that person doesn't have to give you 15 a game if it's 9 a game, or if it's a person that gives you 4 assists, something out of that backcourt to the wings. That's my concern, because if Hauser's not hitting his shot, he's not going to give you defense. The 2-point, he's not driving to the hole if the shot's not hitting. So that's my concern, is your bench really relies on two guys who just really are outside shooters who are not people who drive to the hole.
See,
Pritchard from time to time.
I don't really have that same level of concern, because I just look at this. When this team's a playoff team, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Porzingis, so then those guys coming off the bench, it's not just Pritchard. It's Pritchard, Hauser, Horford. Like, you're adding guys on the bench. Like, Nemus Keita and Tillman might not play at all in a playoff run, or barely at all, because you have those other guys. That's why it's just a different conversation. And I'm not against adding a guy like that. I'm not. I don't have that same level of concern, because when you are a playoff team, then you have those other guys back.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI on your Wednesday, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Up next, we've got the Lions Den. Plus, we've got to talk about the Patriots' upcoming matchup with Caleb Williams. Where does Drake May fit in this 1-2-3 quarterback conversation now? That's still to come here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to Pat's talk in about 15 minutes. And don't forget the Six Rings post-game, it's a podcast, but it's also the post-game show here on WEEI with Fitzy and Hart following the game Sunday between the Bears and the Patriots.
Somebody else will be on there instead of Fitzy on Sunday, though.
You're going to make me guess.
It's me.
There you go. Look at you. Look at them promoting you within and keeping me guessing. I'm totally kidding. It's interesting. We're now at halftime with the Celtics team, 51-40.
Not a good second quarter, KJ.
Yeah. Look, I said if the Celtics could hold Golden State to about 27 points per quarter, it would be manageable. But they held them to 19 in the first quarter. Okay, but it was a sloppy first quarter, and then it was an even sloppier second quarter for the Celtics, giving up 32 points. And again, this is the concern. I think the only way the Celtics really can beat themselves is through injury. Is when someone is not available to play. And here's the other fascinating part. This was the game that I think the nation was looking for to see Tatum do his thing. He would be out there by himself. You got to handle these great challenges that are put in front of you. And despite Golden State not, well, think about it. As in their ebbs and flows, this is a team that just won the NBA championship 2 years ago.
Yeah, and Celtics already have 10 turnovers at halftime.
Yeah, so they're
10
they're,
turnovers just through the first half alone. 12 points given up on that.
You almost wonder, like, is Golden State this kind of kryptonite to this Celtics team?
Sorry, but another piece of this is, like, we've talked a lot about Tatum revenge game and all that.
Right.
Don't forget the last time the Warriors were at TD Garden, they got embarrassed by the Celtics. So it's a little... Maybe there's a sneaky revenge part, and I know Klay Thompson's not there anymore. Some of the faces are a little different, but maybe there's a little bit of revenge on the minds for the Warriors that got completely embarrassed the last time they played in Boston.
Or the other side of it is most of those guys probably don't care or won't remember. I think it's all tied to Jason Tatum and Steve Kerr, right? Because even in some of the pregame interviews and the way that Steve Kerr was booed at the start of tonight's game, a lot of attention. And look, we've brought it on it. But a lot of attention has been brought to what didn't happen for Jason Tatum in the Olympics in terms of being told that you won't play at all in a full before the game versus, hey, during the heat of the game, just the rotations just didn't work out. I couldn't get to you. That's something different. But to tell a player before the game that you're not going to play, you almost say if you're Tatum, you want to perform in this game because some would then say, well, look, here he had a chance to go up against Steve Kerr. There was no Jaylen Brown really to share the light with. This is your chance to shine. And at least through the first half, you've had four turnovers and 8 points.
Yeah, 2 for 7 from the field, only 1 for 2 from 3-point. Yeah, he's – and also, look, they've been blitzing him, doubling him a lot, so that's part of it. But, yeah, not the first half I think a lot of folks are expecting from Tatum.
But they
– and the Celtics, too.
Yeah, but 40 points at the half, that's such a low number. Like,
yeah, well, would they have 75 at halftime against the Hawks? I know that's an outlier, but, like, we're used to them getting in the 60s at halftime regularly.
Well, they should be. There shouldn't be lower than the 50s, that's for sure, because this is an 100-point-per-game team for sure. But now if you're going to tell me this team is going to probably have to score 65, 70 points to win this game, it would almost have to be on Tatum's back. Derek White's going to have to go off as well, and Pritchard is probably going to have to go off as well in terms of where the game flow has been going so far. Yeah, maybe Holiday, but he's only taken 4 shots, so... Nemus Kata, I mean, the 5 shots, you're almost like, how much further are you going to go past that?
And it's like Holiday and Horford combining for 2 points on a night Jaylen Brown's out, right? Like, that's what we were talking about last segment. Like, this is a night you need more from those guys. The Golden State bench already with 28 points at halftime, too. Like, they've produced at a high level, whereas the Celtics bench, I mean, Pritchard has the 7 points, but he's 1 of 5 from 3. Hauser's only got 3 points. I mean, that's... Their bench is highly outperforming the Celtics, again, on a night where the Celtics are shorthanded to begin with.
I'm looking at the ESPN halftime coverage of the game, and I'm sure there's some people today writing ESPN. Like,
Perk's
got,
smiling, right?
You've got to get all Perk. 4 of them off. There's too many of those 4 of them on there. It's interesting. You guys got to talk about the Perk Scal situation last night.
Oh, yeah. We played the clip from that podcast.
So it's interesting because, and though I won't say there's a friendship I have with Perk, we just follow each other on Twitter. When I'm like really paying attention to anything, I think we have to understand with Perk is that Perk has become a personality in all of this, right? We remember his role with the team. And at the same time, you also remember Scalabrine's role with the team at that time. But I think Perk really went into the bag when he said, you know, about him going, just running back to go get his jersey so he could be in the pictures like he did.
That was a slap. And I remember that, like, I remember Scal on the sidelines and all that. Right. I do. But then I was thinking back, I'm like, was he really wearing street clothes, or did he have a uniform? Like, I had to think back, but that's the point, is that I'm like, man, that was such a slap from Perk.
Well, and this is kind of where we are these days, because everything gets amplified, things that you would have never said before. Like, taking the high road is such not a thing anymore. Like, I'm going to dig deep into to say something because it's going to feed the machine. And so, look, I think Scal works very well for the local personality here. Like, it's funny. When I hear Scal, doing the games on NBC Sports Boston and everything, totally in the element. Then when he, like, shows up on Big 3 playing a game, I'm thinking, like, Scal, like, I thought you had, like, the game call tomorrow night. Or, like, didn't you just call a game? So it's kind of see him weird out of that element of being the broadcaster that's got the personality. Because I will say this. That's always been part of Celtics broadcast, is being kind of having the homer guy being injected in as a bit of a personality.
But it is interesting when it's like the homer guy against another former Celtic that won a championship, right? Like, it does add a kind of a newer element,
but,
if you will.
But here's what's weird, though. You remember Scal and Perk did a game. They did a test game together against Houston 2 years ago, and it was very entertaining. Now, kayfabe, right, because I think this is something that we probably have to introduce that might be in the situation. Could this be the buildup to something else that could come down the line? Because if you turn around and said, hey, you know what? Scal and Perk are going to, they're going to do a game together. That's going to be a game watched by people who don't even watch games just because they know about the beef.
It was funny, though, listening to Perk say that. I know he said, like, oh, I like Scal or whatever. Yeah. But you could sense some, like, disdain in his voice. Like, not just the whole street clothes comment, but, like, the, yeah, that should have been a phone call. Like you could just feel in his voice, like, who the F is this guy to be talking about me going back to Banner Night? Like, it just, I could feel that in his voice.
Well, the other, I think the
I also don't blame the players on the roster currently not wanting him there.
Well, but that's the thing. But I think everybody needs to get out of their feelings, right? Because was Perk part of the 08 championship team?
Sure.
Then he should be able to be there.
Yeah, but if these guys don't, they're not raising a banner for the 08 team. They're raising a banner for the 24 team.
Yeah, but you don't invite guys from the 08 team and then say, well, you from the 08 team can't be here.
There's only one guy from the 08 team, though, that says no one's scared of the Celtics, picked the Mavs to beat them, said they got to break up the Jays and they're never going to win together. Like, Garnett and Pierce, they have a podcast. They weren't, and they were critical at times of the Celtics, but they weren't saying stuff like that. So
okay, so one is legacy media, right, and seems to carry more weight when it's said on it. The other one is hobby media, right? So if let's just say Garnett and Ray Allen expressed their opinions that were kind of a little bit counter or challenging to the team, it wouldn't carry as much as with Perk being there on the NBA show. And let's just call it what it was. Until the Celtics won a championship, there was kind of this belief of kind of like either they're not tough enough or they will make mistakes at the wrong time. Just one thing.
So, and that was a fair criticism. Right. I just think with Perk, and we talked about that, but I think with Perk there were times he went beyond that, right? Like, even after they won a championship, oh, no one's scared of the Celtics, or the Knicks are going to be better, and things like that. Like, that was the thing. Like, those questions you're talking about,
I think it's job-related right there. Yeah, that's the kayfabe, right? Like, it's like the rest, like, my uncle used to say.
That article in the Sun said there were guys that didn't want him there.
Right, but
that's part of it.
So I can say this now. So people don't, sometimes you don't need to be so sensitive about it. It's something that everybody says, boy, you love the theme of this show, don't you? It's a way to kind of talk about environment without talking about environment.
Yeah.
Is if you're on this current team, you really should not care about what a former player says, because this kind of goes over the history of the team. There have been former players that had something to say about the current players. And at some point you knew that, okay, those former players. Now, if this was like Ray Mercer making comments about, like, you ain't win anything here, okay? So it depends on who it's coming from. And with Perk, you would say, okay, is it really coming from him? Like, what did he really do? But he was a key part of that championship team in terms of doing the dirty stuff. So even if it was Leon Poe that said something, at least you kind of hear it a bit or something.
Leon Poe.
Right, so, yeah. You know, so.
But, like, and I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I can just imagine, like, myself, if I was in that locker room and I won a championship and he's still there being like, no one's scared of this team, the Knicks are better, I'd be like, you know what, man, F you, don't come.
So,
like, I just as a natural reaction, like, I can.
So not in the locker room, yes, but if you need to be courtside or something, that's fine. I can say I don't want him in the locker room, so if other players are coming into the locker room and congratulating.
Listen, all due respect to Perk, yeah. I don't think he's getting a courtside seat even if they like him. There's some other guys that come before you.
Well, well, the other part is, if it is, if the network is showing the game and you work for the network, you may not even have to worry about, you can get down courtside and be up in one of the suites.
Well, that was the thing, too. It was the other network, right? Because it was TNT that showed Banner Night. So that's why I think that's one of the reasons he needed a ticket, too.
Well, okay, so then there's probably a reason why Perk is not going to be featured in any type of video that's going to be shared, because you're not going to show the talent of a competitor, right?
But that's the thing. But that's not it. Like, the team didn't want him there. It wasn't TNT that said we don't want him there. Like, the Celtics.
Well, yeah, TNT will. I mean, they wouldn't want to show him. But I'd not be so sensitive, right? Because at the end of the day,
I get it from a human level. I can understand them feeling that way, but also, like, kind of like you said. Does Perk complaining, does it really make a big difference?
Yeah, I was going to say, you shouldn't get your memories all twisted over this. All right, 37937, text still to come. We'll play. We'll also talk about what's going on with the Patriots with this upcoming game with Chicago. But right now it's time for...
See the one about lions?
Can't lose to this right after.
King of the jungle.
All right, John, the Celtics are down by 11 at halftime in what people are hoping to be the revenge game, 51-40. Will the Celtics roar back against Golden State in the second half?
I hate to say, KJ, I don't think so. A lot of missed shots, but more concerningly, a lot of turnovers. This just feels like a night where the Celtics are playing a great team, probably the best team they've played all year. They're a little bit out of sorts. No Jaylen Brown. I don't have a good feeling about this second half.
Yeah, this is one of those here, kitty, kitty nights. Look, with no Jaylen Brown and no offense from Horford or from Drew Holiday at this point, I don't know how much maybe you have. If Pritchard can go off and find himself on a little 7-10 point run early in the second half, that might inspire Jaylen Brown. So I'm going to give you a hope, and I think they might be able to roar back in the second half. I'm not just being contrarian when I say that. Next.
No, I hope so. I hope you're right.
Which NFL trade deadline acquisition will roar the most?
I think it's going to be Za'Darius Smith on the Lions. I think he's going to, replacing Aiden Hutchinson, no one guy can do that, but I feel like he's going to have a big sack in a playoff game that's going to help them get to a Super Bowl.
Well, you didn't say trade deadline. I was going to say DeAndre Hopkins is already paying.
Well, no, you can include Hopkins. He was within a week or so.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I like what Detroit's done, but if you can't get the additional pass rush, because I think they were really trying to make a move for Garrett Miles, and I think there just wasn't enough that they could throw in there because they're such a good team that they took the second best thing off of that line. I mean, look, Cleveland, I think they're kind of selling off parts slowly, piece by piece. I wonder what that means for the offensive line for the Patriots. Can you get one of those guys here? But yeah, I would say yes to DeAndre Hopkins being the biggest trade deadline acquisition. Can I get a roar for that? There we go. And finally, this is kind of the drama that's brewing here in Boston. Will David Pastrnak roar after getting benched against Seattle?
Well, he really didn't against Toronto, so yeah. It feels like he's not. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. You might be having a cat fight going on between him and Jim Montgomery.
Maybe.
I could be what's going on.
I mean, tomorrow night's a sneaky important game.
Yeah, I think for the psyche of the team.
Yeah, I agree.
KJ and Lions continues next here on WEEI. Good Wednesday to you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.